Well, I'm sure one of the worst experiences you could have as a human being, and I hope this has never happened to you, is when you love someone. You really, really love someone, and they don't love you back. I mean, that must be a painful experience, heartbreaking. You love someone. You give your heart to them. You entrust your soul to them almost. You put all your eggs in one basket, and they don't love you back. You want to trust them, just like they can trust you. You want to believe in their faithfulness, just like you're faithful to them. But you can't trust them because they don't love you. And they're not going to be faithful to you because they don't love you. And it's heartbreaking. I hope no one's had that experience. Terrible experience. You know, there's a whole book in the Bible about this. There's a book in the Bible called the Book of Hosea. He's a prophet. Pretty close contemporary with Isaiah, not too far off. And in the book of Isaiah, we read the love story that went wrong. Hosea loved a woman. Her name was Gomer, and he loved her. He loved her. And when you love someone, you're trapped. There's nothing you can do. And so he went and he married her. Now, when you read the story, you realize, well, Hosea's not a bad guy. He's a prophet, so he's, you know, he's middle class or something like that. I don't know. But Gomer, you know, she comes from a dodgy background. No question. Yeah, I think his friends must have said to him, Hosea, I think you can do better than this. But you know, love is a crazy thing. Love is blind. And so he marries her. And it starts off okay. You know, you get married. I love you, boo. I love you too. You know, things that couples do in love, walks on the beach and stuff, you know. And here's the thing. He marries her and they exchange vows. You know, I promise you, I will love you till I die. Because that's how you get married. And it all goes well. And they have their first child. Hosea loves his first child. He loves his wife. He must be thinking, you know what, I've arrived. I love this woman. Never mind what my friends say. It's all gone good. And I love her. Then she falls pregnant again. And if you read the text, is it Hosea's child? You don't know. The text has got little hints. You know, it doesn't tell us, but there's clear little hints. Is this really Hosea's child? I mean, they're at, wow, that looks just like the gym instructor. You know, how strange is that? Well, you know, it doesn't say that, but, you know. The point is, and then in a relationship where distrust, you know, it's like a cancer and it eats at you. But he loves her and he wants to trust her. Well, along comes the third child and even God drops the hint. God says to the prophet Hosea, it's a little girl. And God says, call her Lo-Ami, which in Hebrew means not my people. It's such a strong hint, you know. And Hosea is like, what? Really? But I trust, but I'm being, you know, and you're trapped. And what is suspicion turns out to be true. And she runs off. She runs away with another man. She's gone. And Hosea is heartbroken. All those suspicions were true. You know, now I'm sure his friends are saying, mate, have you never read the back of a car? You get those little stickers. If you love something, let it go. If it comes back to you, it's yours. If it doesn't come back, it was never yours. But Hosea is trapped. He loves her. What do you do? What do you just want me to get over it? I love her. And so guess what Hosea does? Off he goes to find her. Like, dude, where's your pride? But no, and he finds her, and you'll, in the story, you won't believe it. He buys her back for 15 pieces of silver. And you're thinking, gee, those people were weird, you know, buying. That is weird. That's not what they did. This is strange. Obviously, she's got into all sorts of trouble. Maybe, look, in our day and age, she would have been in drugs, you know, something like that. Or maybe she owes her pimp some money because we're told she becomes a prostitute. And he goes back and he buys her. He not only marries his wife, he goes and redeems his wife. He goes and buys her back. There is love that will not let go. There is love vast as the ocean. You know, what's going on here? Why is this book in the Bible? The Bible's funny. It's got these stories, right? They're not random stories. The Holy Spirit has put that in the Bible because that is a small picture of the true love story. Every love story on earth is a little hint of the true love story. Because the fact of the matter is, it's a picture of God and his people. God went and found his people, and he loved them, and he brought them to himself, and he said, live with me, be faithful to me, I'll be faithful to you. But if you read the Bible, his people became more and more unfaithful, to the end where they were cheating with anybody, Egypt, Babylon, Assyria. And God was heartbroken. What's he going to do? What should God do? You know, if you love something and let it go, if it doesn't come back to you, it's never yours. Get over it. Well, God won't get over it. And so you know what he does? He doesn't just marry his people. Like the prophet Hosea, God comes to earth to redeem his people. He comes to the world to buy back his wife, his own people. It's the true love story. It's what Jesus Christ came to do. Here is a passage for you in Isaiah 53. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Who's the he? We've seen this before. This is Jesus. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Jesus was the punishment that brought us peace. By his wounds we are healed. All we, like Gomer, or like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned every one of us to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. God sent his son to redeem and buy back his bride. Now everybody hear this. That is Isaiah 53. In Isaiah 53, which we as a church have studied again and again and will study again and again, is the beautiful story of the redemption through Jesus Christ. Now everyone hear this. In Isaiah 54, which we're going to concentrate on today, we're going to see that because of the work of the servant in redeeming God's people, every marriage promise of God has been fulfilled. That's what Isaiah chapter 54 is about. I'll put it up here on a slide for you. In Isaiah 54, in the passage you got in front of you, are three covenants, three marriages which God entered into. And here's the logic. It's on a slide here for you. Because of God's love, through what Jesus did in Isaiah 53, we see that those three covenants in Isaiah 54 are kept. Three covenants. Three times God pledges an oath to his people. Three times the covenant partner fails, as in, and is unfaithful. And three times all three covenants are kept because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. You know, this week my dad had a stent put in his, I never know, is it carotid or carotid? But there you go, in this thing here. You see, here's what happens. Your heart pumps. Blood goes through your body and it carries nutrients and good things that your body needs. But you get a thing called cholesterol. And cholesterol clogs up the artery. The artery gets blocked. And the heart can't get through. And something, a stent, gets put in to open it up again. The cross of Jesus Christ is God's stent. His heart pumps love for us. He wants to bless us. He loves his people, but sin has closed the artery. It's blocked. And when Jesus Christ in Isaiah 53 hangs on that cross and his blood flows freely, it is opened and love flows through from the heart of God. And every covenant that God has made is kept because of Jesus Christ. I'm going to show it to you. Three covenants. Here we go. The first one is this. The covenant with Abraham kept descendants from God. It is inevitable that as we study the prophet Isaiah, you're going to need background. So forgive me if I do give you quite a bit of background. Okay, the covenant with Abraham kept because of Jesus Christ. Watch. So there's this man. His name's Abe. And he lived a long time before Jesus. God comes to Abraham. And God says to him, by the way, what I'm telling you is what the majority of planet Earth believes. Muslims, Jewish people, Christians, all trace their ancestry spiritually to Abraham. So God comes to Abraham. And God says to Abraham, I'm going to make a covenant with you. Here's my covenant. I'm going to give you offspring, lots of descendants. I'm making my covenant with you. And here's what you have to do. Walk before me and be perfect. Now, I don't know about you, but those are pretty steep terms. Imagine getting married to someone. Darling, will you marry me? All I ask is that you be perfect. But yet God says to Abraham, walk before me and be perfect. And more than that, I'm giving myself to you. Through you, Abraham, I'm going to create an offspring. I will bless the world because I love you. And then God does something extraordinary. God says, I'm changing your name. Your name was Abram. I'm changing it to Abraham. Here's why, people. Because a covenant will always change your identity. A covenant will change who you are. Will anyone be offended if right now I get on my hobby horse and just, you can tune out for the next 2 minutes because I'm about to ride my hobby horse. My wife and I do not like the word partner. It's not a bad word. But when someone says to me, who's your partner? I say, she's not my partner, she's my wife. Because it's not less than a partner, but it's way more than a partner. In your growth groups this week, I've written something for you to study the difference between a contract, which Western society understands, and a covenant, which Western society doesn't understand at all. And a marriage is not a partnership. A partnership is a business proposition. It's a contract for the exchange of goods and services, usually sexual. A covenant is not about goods and services. It's about a change of identity. It's about a complete reciprocation of exchange of souls where the two become one. You want a partnership? Go into business. You want a partnership? Join a netball team. When you get married, you become a man and you change into a husband. And if you're a woman, you change into a wife. And God makes a covenant with Abraham and changes his identity from Abram to Abraham. There's a problem though. Two problems. One's the easy problem. Abraham is 99 years old. God loves to promise what is unlikely. Abraham's 99 years old. This is long before Viagra. And so this is a real problem. Not only that, his wife is 90 years old. And she's barren. She's never had children before. And when God makes this promise, do you know where she is? Abraham lived in tents. She's standing behind the tent going, she's laughing. Like, what the heck? I don't even have one child. And you're telling me we're going to have descendants? But that's the easy problem. God can make virgins fall pregnant. That's the easy problem. Here's the harder problem. What happens if the offspring become unfaithful? What happens if Abraham's descendants cheat on God? What happens if they break the covenant? That's a much bigger problem. What happens if the artery gets blocked? And that is what happens. You read the rest of the Old Testament. It's a catalog of God's people's catastrophic failure. You ask me why I think the Old Testament is true. I'll give you 100 reasons. Here's one reason. What nation on earth keeps a record of their failures and calls it sacred scripture? And that's the Old Testament. What's God going to do? Give up? Is God going to say, well, you know, I made promises. I can't keep them anymore. Why doesn't God destroy them? Say, you know what? I tried the two-legged, two-eyed thing. I like green. I'm going to make green people with three eyes and three legs. Why didn't God do that? Because he loves with a love that will not let go. Here's what he did. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, Isaiah 53. It was the will of the Lord to crush him. Jesus carried the weight of a broken heart. He, God, has put him, Jesus, to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, look at this closely, everyone. He shall see his offspring. And he shall prolong his days. And the will of God, I want that woman. The will of God will prosper in his hand. It is through Jesus that the covenant with Abraham is kept. Let me show it to you. And at last, thank you, Dwayne. Look in your outline, Isaiah 54. Mind you, it'll be on the screen. As a result of what Jesus did, the artery is open. The love flows. Look at this. Isaiah 54, verse 1. Sing, O barren one. As a church, you get here and we sing because we got. Look, sing, O barren one who did not bear. Break forth into singing. Cry aloud, you who have not been in labor. This is Sarah. This is Sarah who can't have any kids. God says that's no obstacle because of what Jesus has done. Sing, bust out singing. This is the joy of Christianity. We get to be God's offspring without the labor. Another person does the labor. Someone else does the hard yards. Someone else experiences the grief of childbirth. As Jesus hangs on that cross, he is going through the agony of childbirth and worse. God's children are born supernaturally. Look at the next verse. For the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who is married, says the Lord. As a result of what Jesus done, I'm keeping my promise to Abraham. Look at how it carries on. Enlarge the place of your tent. Never mind Sarah standing behind the tent giggling as if God can do this. Look, enlarge the place. Make your tent bigger. Let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes, for you will spread abroad to the right and to the left. Your offspring will possess the nations and will people the city. God says, Abraham, you little tent dweller, you little Bedouin, dude, you better make more tents. Because I am going to create so many of your offspring. Thanks to what my son Jesus did. It carries on. Because of God's love through what Jesus did, the covenant with Abraham is kept. Descendants from God. You know what happened this week? I read an article this week. In China, there is a factory that prints Bibles. Last week, they celebrated the 200th millionth Bible that they've printed in Chinese. Sarah's giggling behind the tent. Do you think she knew one day that her story is going to be read and printed 200 million times? You know how big that is? Talk about, does God keep his promises? This offspring has gone over the world. I'm asking you this morning, what's in it for you? Don't you want to be Abraham's child? Don't you want to live under a God who loves like that? Don't you want to be part of this offspring? Who's your father? Who do you claim heritage from? In Jesus, you get to be part of God's family. That's the first covenant in Isaiah 54. There's another one. There's three. Here's the second one. The covenant with Israel is kept. A relationship with God. Thanks to Jesus, this covenant is kept. Now, the book of Hosea is there. The Holy Spirit put it there for us so that we can understand God's relationship with his people, Israel. Here's what happened. Background story. God loves a young girl, Israel. The problem is she's in an abusive relationship. She's in Egypt. And she's being horribly oppressed. Horribly. Domestic violence like you can't believe. Her babies are being thrown in the river. It's tragic situation, but God loves her. And so he comes to earth and he takes her for himself. He frees her. True marriage is freedom. He frees her and he takes her across the desert. He feeds her, he clothes her, he gives her everything she needs, and he brings her to Mount Sinai. And there he marries her in a covenant. I will be your God, you will be my people. I will be faithful to you, you be faithful to me. But you know what happens? During the wedding, as Moses is giving the wedding speech, during the wedding speeches, Moses goes and finds her in the back seat of a car with someone else. She builds a golden calf. She cheats on the night of her wedding. And God is so heartbroken. I mean, could you imagine? That Moses takes the covenant and he smashes it. God's heart is broken. And yet, you're not going to believe this. He marries her anyway. And he takes her with him. And he takes all the way to the land, his house of milk and honey, this beautiful place that he's made for them. It's not a great marriage. She doesn't stop grumbling, whining, and complaining. The Bible says better live on the roof than with a whining wife. You know, happy wife, happy life. Other way around. She never stops complaining. And finally, when they get to the promised land, she's off. She cheats on God again and again and again. And God is heartbroken. Now, what should he do? If you love something, let it go. If it comes back to you, it was yours. If you let it go and it doesn't come back to you, it was never yours. Is that true? She gets so bad that she gets absolutely exiled. You know what exiled means? Taken away. And she ends up living in Babylon. You know, that saying is not true for God. Here's what God does. If you love something, let it go. If it doesn't come back, hunt it down. And Jesus came into the world to seek and save the lost. God sent his son to go find her. Where is she? She's scattered. His son came into the world to gather God's people back to himself. And as a result of that, we'll look at this. Here is Isaiah 54. I just want to check that it didn't jump forward. Fear not. Look at Isaiah 54, verse 4. Fear not. You will not be ashamed. Listen to this lover. Be not confounded. You will not be disgraced. You will forget the shame of your youth. That's when Israel was in Egypt. God says, I'm going to wipe away your memories. Remember, you know, any of you married? You can look back and go, oh, I can't believe I did. Oh, my sister and I have got this hideous game we play. We just drop names of exes, you know. She'll just say, I'm not even going to tell you. She'll drop a name and I'll go, oh, yeah, but you remember. Anyway, we're not very nice to each other. God says, you will forget the shame of your youth. And the reproach of your widowhood you'll remember no more. The fact that you were in exile in Babylon will remember no more. Here's why. For your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your redeemer. The God of the whole earth he is called. For the Lord has called you like a wife deserted, grieved in spirit, like a wife of youth when she's cast off, says your God. Look at God, everybody. Look at what God is like. How many husbands are waiting for an excuse to get out? God makes a reason to stay because of his son, Jesus Christ. Look what he says. For a brief moment I deserted you, but with great compassion I'll gather you. In overflowing anger for a moment I hid my face from you, but with, and there's this beautiful word, chesed, in Hebrew, with everlasting love. Here is love that will not let go. Here is love as vast as the ocean. I will have compassion on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. What's in it for me? Well, the covenant with Israel is kept, thanks to Jesus Christ. But what's in it for me in Perth, right here, right now? Well, here's what's in it for you. Picture this. You go with him to dinner at Malalu Hotel, which is as high as I can imagine. But there you go. And the next thing, you're walking along the beach, and it's the sun setting down over Malalu. And you know what he does? Even though it's sandy, he goes down on one knee. And he says, will you marry me? Do you know what she says? She says, no. No. I mean, never mind what he must be thinking. How much did that meal cost? No, no. I don't know what he's thinking. But I'm telling you what she's thinking. She's thinking three things. Number one, three things. One of these. Number one, she's thinking, I'm just not that into you. I don't love you. I'm just not that into you. That's the one thing. Or she's thinking number two, actually, if I'm honest, I love Bob. I've always had a thing for Bob. You know what? Thanks for the meal. Or number three, she's thinking, I'm not ready for this. I just want to keep my, you know, I want to live my life. I haven't been to Bali yet. You know, I just want to live my life. I'm not ready for a heavy relationship. I'll sort it out when I'm older. You know, when God sent Jesus Christ, he was going down on one knee for you. God says to you in Jesus, will you marry me? I will be your God. You can be my people. And if you're not a Christian, you are saying no. And you're thinking three things. Number one, you're thinking, I'm just not that into you. God, I'm not against you. I'm not a Satanist. It's just that, well, I don't love you that much. If that's you this morning, you don't know God. You don't know what you got. Because you don't love him. Because you don't know him. And if you knew him, oh my goodness, but you don't. Second thing, you love Bob. The truth is, well, since we're talking about it, the reason you can't commit to God is because on your computer there are naked bodies. And they're pretty awesome. And here's the thing. You are so blind. You think that those naked bodies on your computer screen, which is really just electronics and things lighting up, are better than the creator of everything. Can a man or woman be so blind? Or thirdly, I'm just not ready for that kind of relationship. Really? What are you waiting for? You think you're going to find someone who will crucify their son for you? Who will love you? Your soul is saying, take it. Your soul is saying, say yes, say yes, say yes. Because that's what your heart is after. A love that will never let go. But you're thinking Bali might be more fun. You know, there's a fourth thing you could do. You could say, no, but hey, I want you to keep begging. Do you know any guy that will do that? God will. He'll keep begging. He'll keep begging. Until you've said no so many times, you can't say yes, or until you die and the offer is rescinded. What's in it for you? It's a relationship with God, with a love that will not let you go. Finally, and much more briefly, the covenant with Noah kept thanks to Jesus. There was another covenant God made, and this one is huge. Every covenant has been Abraham and his offspring, or it's been Israel and, you know, this one is with planet Earth. God comes to one man, Noah. Now here's the thing, the world had become so bad. It was filled with violence. It was filled with corruption. Every thought of the imagination of human's heart was evil constantly. And so God says, I'm done. And he makes a covenant with one man, Noah. And God is so patient. He gets Noah to build this ark. Now, you know how long that takes. And, you know, after his millionth trip to Bunnings, people must have been listening. Look at the message. It's in front of you. Look at the ark. It's in front of you. But they're not listening. And Noah makes this ark. And God enters into a covenant with him. And here's what happens. The storm clouds gather. It grows dark. And God storms his judgment on the earth. And all flesh is destroyed except Noah. And God saves Noah. And outside of Noah, no one else is saved. And then when the storm clouds are finished and God's judgment has fallen, the sun comes out again and it's quiet and it's calm. And God enters into a covenant with Noah saying, through you and your offspring, I'm going to form a relationship. But guess what happens? Noah becomes unfaithful. Would you believe it? Noah cheats on God and his children become unfaithful. But here's the difference. God puts a sign in the sky, the rainbow, and God says, that is my covenant. And listen to this, that I will not destroy all flesh again, ever again, which doesn't mean he won't destroy lots of flesh, but he will never again destroy all flesh. Now that covenant was kept in Jesus Christ. Look what Jesus did in Isaiah 53. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Everyone look at this. Upon him was the punishment that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. On the cross, it got dark. The storm clouds came, just like at the flood. It was pitch dark. And at the cross, God's judgment rained on Jesus Christ. God's wrath was poured out on him. Jesus Christ satisfied God. God's wrath is not a hissy fit. You know, he gets angry, he goes to angry management lessons, and then he calms down. No, his wrath is satisfied because it's a just wrath. It was satisfied on Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, look at Isaiah 54. God says, this is like the days of Noah to me. As I swore that the waters of Noah should no more go over the whole earth, so I have sworn that I will not be angry with you and will not. Why will God not be angry with Dwayne? Does God know what Dwayne's done? Yes, because he was angry with Jesus in my place. Jesus achieved this. Look at it as we close. For the mountains may depart. The hills may be removed. When do mountains depart and hills get removed? When they are flooded. When God covers them with judgment. But my steadfast love will never depart from you. Thanks to Jesus, here is a love that will never let go. And my covenant, ooh, it's changed. It was judgment. It's now a covenant of peace. Shall not be removed. After that storm broke out, there was a great calm. And the dove went out over the waters. After Jesus Christ bore the storm of God's judgment. 3 days later, the sun came out. Literally, the sun came out. And there was calm. And the Lord had peace for the people. And Jesus instituted the new covenant. Three covenants. The covenant with Abraham kept, descendants from God. The covenant with Israel kept, relationship with God. The covenant with Noah kept, peace and life with God. What's in it for you? What's in it for me? Well, don't you want peace with God? The Bible tells us that the whole world, Romans chapter 1 verse 18, is under the wrath of God. The storm clouds are gathering. But in Jesus, there's peace and life. In Jesus, there is a love that will not go. Have you ever watched a love story that's so amazing? You just want to be in it, right? I mean, who didn't want to be, if you're my age, who didn't want to be Tom Hanks, you know, and Sleepless? And I mean, who, you know, but look, that's old and whatever. Have you ever seen a love story that was so amazing you wanted to be part of it? And if you're a man here, don't be stuck in your broken hardness. Your heart was designed to be loved properly. Here is a love that will not get go. Here's the point. There is a love story. The love story is real. The love story is true. And when you come to Jesus Christ, God embraces you. And when you come to Jesus Christ, you embrace Him. Because of Jesus Christ, there is a love that will never let go. Every covenant God has ever made, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, has been kept in Jesus Christ. I want to close with this thought. Do you think God will ever get His happily ever after? I mean, I want to speak respectfully. Don't you think God is a tryhard? Do you think He'll ever get His love? Do you think God will ever have His happily ever after like Shrek? Well, I've got two last pictures for you. And they are the end of all things. Here's the first one. Book of Revelation chapter 4. Behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. Now, look at this. And around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. See what I'm wearing this morning? I'm wearing a ring. That's my wife. This reminds me I am not my own. God has a ring around Him. It's a rainbow. And it constantly reminds Him of His promise that He will not destroy all flesh, though many flesh will be destroyed, but that He will have His people. That's one picture. Here's the other picture. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. At last! That's all I want to say. At last. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, at last, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. They will be His people. God Himself will be with them as their God. God always gets what He wants. And thanks to Jesus Christ, He purifies a people for Himself. This morning, God is saying to you, will you marry me? I've got a prayer for you this morning. It's quite a difficult one because it's only got one word. Yes. It's a great prayer. Anyone can't remember that? Here's a prayer for you. I'm going to give you a few moments quiet. I know that was a lot, but just think about it. And then here's what I want you to pray. Yes. That's all you have to say. In the gospel of Jesus Christ, God says, will you be mine? I will be yours. All you have to pray is yes. Some of you will pray that for the first time. But some of you, you've been Christians for a long time, but you've been unfaithful, you've been cheating. Go back to your husband say yes.